In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. In the studio today, we have a special guest, Mark Bottori. Mark.
Well, John, thank you again for having me back. I cannot say enough of gratitude for the church here at Brookside and the spirit that is here. The Lord's doing something here, and I like being connected with a place where it's evident that God is at work. So thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. Now, we left off in our last episode. You just met your wife. She was already a believer. You're, for the most part, a recent believer. But give us a little background concisely on both your home and maybe her home.
Yes. Well, both my wife and I, we came from troubled homes. I came to Christ. I was 16. It was through the witness of a fellow student at my secular high school that I came to know Christ. And it was 2 weeks after I came to know Christ that I thought I needed to be in church. I didn't have so much the influence of my own home to go to church. It was kind of in me. I knew that I need to do this. And there was a church just 2 miles up the road. And I went to the Independent Baptist Church. I walked in the door one Sunday evening, and I didn't know, but there was a young lady who was also near the door, and she saw me, happened to be my future wife. We finally met. Actually, she was 14 years old when we met, and I know it's going to sound a little scandalous, but I didn't have a spiritual counselor. I didn't have a dad who really says, son, you know, let me give you some advice. Well, we started dating when she was 15 years old, but by that time, I knew the Lord had been working my heart about serving him in the future. And how it is that we determine as young teenagers, we're going to keep ourselves pure, we're going to have a godly and a spiritual relationship. And we did. And now we've been married now for 45 years.
When did you get married? At what age?
Okay, I was 22.
Okay.
And she was 20. And we eventually ended up on the mission field when I was 24 and she was 22. But the call, it was interesting because the thing that drew me towards Paula, my wife, because my heart was already tender towards missions. Someone had lent me a book called Commandos for Christ by Bruce Porterfield. He was a missionary in the jungles of Bolivia. And I read that book. I thought, you mean there are people who actually get to do this? To go places like that and share Christ? I thought that was the most incredible thing. And so my heart was in that direction. Well, when I heard that there was a young lady in our youth group who all she could talk about was missions, I thought, bing, the light went on. I got to meet this gal.
You know, let's briefly pause for a moment because this is a significant insight. And I just want to talk to the single men and women in our audience right now. Your first priority is to love the Lord. If you're chasing a relationship and making that a priority, you're really making a big mistake.
Yes.
Because if you're loving the Lord and serving the Lord, and that is your primary focus, the Lord knows your needs, and He will bring the right one who also has the same passions and interests so that you as a couple can come together unified to fulfill the purpose He's called for both of you.
That's a great point, John. If my wife was here this morning, she would jump in. She says, exactly right. She said, I learned to love the Lord first. And she says, I still love the Lord first. And then that's how the Lord directed me to love my husband and to love what He's called us to do. Her heart was tenderized towards missions because of a book called Commandos for Christ by Bruce Porterfield, missionary in Bolivia. And by the way, and that was the book that right after I got saved, someone lent me that book and I read it. I thought, man, that's the most exciting thing I think I've already mentioned. Well, that's what I gave my heart to. I sought first to serve Christ. And then I found a young lady who wanted to serve Christ. I thought, okay, done deal. You know, this is all I need.
Yeah, when the Lord is the center of the relationship, then you are anchored to the rock. So let's talk about some other questions here related to this current ministry that you're serving now as an executive director. How can people find out about this ministry and learn more and really support you in this mission?
Well, Gospel Fellowship Association, you can look this up. We do have a website. If you were to just type in Gospel Fellowship Association, and you'll find our website. Now, there's also another GFA, But so don't just type in GFA because it may take you to the wrong site. Make sure it's Gospel Fellowship Association, and then you can go to our site and find out all kinds of information about what we do. But we are a mission service agency. We assist missionaries and churches to help them get their missionaries to the different parts of the world. And, John, it's not an easy task to take an American couple and get them to a foreign field, all the paperwork, all the visas, all the permissions, all the issues that go on sometimes. That's what we do. We take that load off of the local churches and off the missionary. We help transfer support to them. The donations that come in for the missionary, they come to our office, and we're able to pool it. And as we pool it for that missionary and then send it out to the different missionaries, sometimes it's transferring to their bank. Sometimes there's all kinds of ways to get money to the missionaries.
Yeah, no doubt there's a lot of logistics. And it sounds like your mission agency handles all that.
Oh, it does.
Simplifying the process so those missionaries don't have to be distracted by all that bureaucracy. They can go and serve faithfully and fully.
Exactly, exactly.
So let me ask you this question. What advice would you give to someone like yourself, maybe they're at the age that you were at, contemplating missions? What would be your advice?
Well, John,
remember, our time is limited.
I told you when we started this broadcast, I said, I'm going to try to convince you, brother. Serving Christ, no matter where it is the most wonderful thing we can do with our life. There's nothing better this side of heaven than knowing, serving, and telling others about Jesus Christ and doing it in His will.
And let's add, that's the only thing that's rewardable.
That's right. That is right. And so convince people to do this. I'm surprised we have to try to convince them, quite frankly.
I agree.
Our experience and what we have seen Christ work in our lives, and such an incredible level of joy and satisfaction from doing what I just said, knowing, serving, worshiping, and telling others of Jesus Christ. This is the most phenomenal life. And to think that we can do this in a foreign country, in a foreign language, and be able to present our wonderful Savior to other people who have never heard Him. I remember the first man I won to Christ in Mexico in Spanish. Brother, let me tell you, I came out of there just so elated that God allowed me to go to a foreign country, learn a language, that I can communicate the gospel to a man who probably never would have heard it before if I had
no hablo español.
Well, that's fair, okay?
But that shows you how God can break down this Tower of Babel that He established years ago and bring two complete strangers in His providential loving hand together and to move you across the world to bring the gospel. That, to me, is a demonstration of God's love for that soul.
Well, we're constrained by Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that He died for all. Christ died for all of us, brother. He died for you. John died for me.
Amen.
He died for me. He says, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died. He didn't just die, but also He rose again. He gave us that hope that one day we will rise again. Listen, as we've been bought with a price, and as we yield our hearts and our lives to do His perfect will, His wonderful will for our lives, there is a wonderful discovery that we make, a discovery of incomparable joy and satisfaction. How would I convince someone who's listening to follow Christ? All I can say is, speaking from my own experience, it is true. It is. I've been in the ministry now for more than four decades. And now I look back and I think this has just been the most wonderful life serving Jesus Christ. And I would ask any of you listening here now that you would search your heart and say, now, Lord, I am willing to do this. I don't know how I could do it, what You'd want me to do. But whatever it is, dear God, I want to do it. And I would encourage any of you to talk to the Lord even right now and ask Him and tell Him that and ask Him that you're to lead you and to use you in the years to come.
What I'm hearing is that the call to serve the Lord, and that can be expressed in multiple ways. For you is going to Mexico and now serving as this executive, but it all flows out of the wellspring of gratitude. Because as you recognize your own sinfulness, that you were on your way to hell, and God out of His mercy and grace spared you, but then poured His love into you, out of that love that God gave you, you're taking that abundant love and giving to others in the same way with the gospel.
Well, you know, John, I think sometimes today many people in churches, I think they've lost the sight of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what it does to people. We've seen people come to Christ, not only in my own life, I knew what Christ did in my own life, but see it in me to be able to give the gospel to somebody else and see them rescued out of the depths of depravity of their lives and find them turned over to Christ. We saw people come to Christ 40 years in Mexico. We go back now, and brother, what a thrill to see somebody's dead now after 40-some years of Christian maturity and going on serving Christ. My wife and I just go, this has been the most phenomenal thing to be able to do with our lives.
So what I'm hearing is, for those who are listening, first examine your own heart. And let's see if you're really right now following the Lord, loving the Lord, and evangelizing with the people you know.
Exactly, exactly. And find that joy. I've heard it said one time that 95% of knowing God's will is getting your heart into a state that it has no will of its own. I mean, that's a big step. 95% is finally conquering your heart. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. That's 95% of knowing God's will. And then you put your hand to the plow and get at it, and you just find that God begins to use you and experience that wonderful joy of serving Christ.
That's really important. And I think our audience is always looking for ways to share the gospel. We've got a very active audience here who are witnessing at work, family, friends. How would you approach someone the first time with the gospel, a stranger?
I love doing it. I love doing it. I don't find it difficult to begin, of course, befriending someone. I love being a Christian because I get to spend my life making friends with people. That's great. And then I will, of course, let them know who I am, what I do. But there are different ways to make that first step.
So I'm hearing listening is part of that process.
Listening and finding out a little bit. Let them know you're interested in them. I don't just right away jump in. If you died today, hey, tell me about yourself. People like to talk about themselves. And then as you learn about them, there's a friendliness, and I start using his first name. That's wonderful. Tell me. And so I'm probing into him first, finding out about him. And as they open themselves, there's a key. They begin to open their own minds, their own heart. They're telling you about themselves. And then you find a way that you can, in one of those cracks, put in the gospel, say something about Christ. And often they don't. At that point, they'll close the door. Okay, fine. I don't push it. And I don't make it so like I'm trying to be forceful evangelistic. Well, I just try to be, okay, I back off a little bit. I may go back a second time, follow up on it. But I keep asking about themselves. Get them to open up.
So it's a combination of trusting the Lord, listening, looking for ways to love and serve, and keeping that door open for tomorrow's opportunity as well.
Yes. Sometimes it takes 10 years of follow-up. There have been other times when it's like the first or second visit with them. They open their hearts. But just show interest in them, first of all.
So what I'm hearing is, and wrapping things up, be prayerful, then be alert, and trust the Lord to lead you through the process. Well, Mark, it's been a sweet time. Let me just encourage you, listeners, the website that you want to go to is www.gfamissions.org. Very important. It's the Gospel Fellowship Association. You can learn more about the organization. Mark, give to the ministry. Mark, thanks for joining us these last two shows.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.